as Chris has just said, today we're going to start by thinking about austerity. So first I'm going to talk about what austerity means in the UK today, then think about poverty in the UK, and then finally the relationship between austerity and poverty. Then there'll be a little bit of time for questions before we hand over to Chris. So what does austerity mean in 2018 in the UK? Well, a geographer called Sarah Marie Hall has talked about three different meanings of austerity. So probably the most common meaning of austerity is in an economic sense, relating to the government. So there have been government expenditure cuts with the aim of reducing public debt. This aimed to increase private consumption, increase business investment, and ideally, the overall aim of austerity was to result in sustainable economic growth. So as you probably know, this has been seen across much of Europe since the, 2010. And an interesting exception is Iceland, where instead of the government taking those cuts, the Icelandic banks took on those economic losses. So that's austerity in terms of the economy. We can also think of austerity in terms of our personal lived experiences. So the Cambridge Dictionary defines austerity as the condition of living without unnecessary things and without comfort, with limited money or goods, or a practice, habit, or experience that's typical of this. So personal austerity can be seen as an idea of self-restraint. It's about doing without, making those personal cuts. And we can think of that in terms of what impact has the economic policies had upon each of us and upon different people in UK society. And we'll return to that shortly. So the third meaning of austerity that we could see is a kind of historical meaning of austerity. This period of austerity isn't the first in lived experience, lived memory of austerity in the UK. So historical austerity resonates with the experience and memory of times such as the Second World War and austerity in the 1980s. And for some people, this can relate to a sense of pride, a sense of getting through times together, managing together. And then you can almost end up with quite a romanticized notion of austerity, of kind of remembering it through rose-tinted glasses, if you like. So thinking now about austerity and the UK government, austerity measures began in 2010 by the Conservative Liberal Democrat coalition government, and despite Theresa May last month saying that austerity was soon to end, austerity has continued since 2010 in the UK. It hasn't yet ended, officially or unofficially. So austerity in 2010 followed the 2008 to 2009 global economic crisis. And one thing that we've done so far as part of the project is to think about an austerity timeline and what have been the key moments in austerity in the last 8 years. So one really big thing in austerity so far was the Welfare Reform Act in 2012, which, despite the name, came into existence in 2013. So some of the key things in that were the bedroom tax was introduced, which is officially called the removal of the spare room subsidy. So this meant that social housing tenants lost up to 25% of their benefit if they had a spare room. And what you may not know is that a house can count as having a spare room if you have two children of different sexes, they need to be sharing a room up to the age of 10. Or if they're of the same sex, then they need to be sharing a room up to the age of 16. So if you had two girls that were 15 and they weren't sharing a room, they each had their own room, you could lose up to 25% of your benefit because the government considers that a spare room. Other things in the Welfare Reform Act were that the household benefit cap was introduced. So there was a maximum set for benefit amounts. So the government aimed that a household wouldn't be able to receive more in their average weekly wage, wouldn't be able to receive more than a household working would receive in an average weekly wage after tax and national insurance. The Welfare Reform Act also introduced the personal independence payment, which is shortened to PIP, to replace the disabled living allowance. And part of that has introduced a lot more medical testing, even for people that have lifelong medical conditions. They continually tested to see if they still have this lifelong medical condition. As you probably also know, universal credit began to be rolled out from April 2014. The government stated that their aim for introducing universal credit was to encourage more people to move from receiving benefits to being in work. They aim to make the benefit system simpler and to reduce benefit fraud. However, this has proved controversial since its introduction, and there have been several delays to the introduction, so it's still not rolled out nationally. The final thing that was kind of one of the key things on the austerity timeline is that benefit rates have been frozen since April 2016. So they've been frozen for 4 years, or will be frozen for 4 years. And that means that benefit rates haven't kept up with the increased cost of living in the UK. Thinking about attitudes to austerity, well, today's welfare state strongly emphasises means testing. You have to be eligible for a benefit. Whereas in the 1940s, when it was first introduced, it was more of an insurance policy. You paid in through your national insurance, which we still do today, but then you were able to then claim back from that insurance policy. There was much less emphasis when it was introduced on your eligibility. It's interesting to note that no major political party in the UK has given an alternative to austerity, and when others have proposed alternatives, these tend not to have been taken seriously. It's been presented to the public as austerity needs to happen. So this leads to a question of who's responsible for austerity. So there's considerable debate over this. We could say that it's a result of the global financial crisis. So austerity and the financial crisis was a global problem. The global financial crisis, that is in the name, was global and was beyond the control of any individual and beyond the control of the UK government. So if we think of the global financial crisis as being the cause of austerity, then there's no individual or part of society that's responsible for it. However, in the UK, austerity measures were introduced, and that took, as we've already said, from the economic understanding of austerity, took the impact from away from the banks, away from the financial crisis, to put the emphasis on the welfare state. And so in that way, we could say that austerity has been made a societal problem and an individual problem, with people needing to make those cuts themselves. So we can question if austerity is meeting the government aims. Has it resulted in sustainable economic development? Well, in 2015, the Trade Union Congress argued that austerity was failing in the UK and across Europe, and that it was actually suppressing the UK economy. Moving to the second theme of this part of today, so thinking about poverty in the UK. Couple of statistics to start with. There are 14 million people living in poverty in the UK in 2018. Of those 14 million, 3 million, which is approximately 1 in 4 children, are at risk of holiday hunger. Holiday hunger is when children don't have enough to eat in the school holidays. There are 1.9 million pensioners in the UK living in poverty. And in 2017, 1.5 million people were in destitution in the UK, which is pretty much the most extreme form of poverty. So how have levels of poverty changed in the UK? Well, the current levels of food poverty in the UK have not been seen in the UK since the 1940s, when the welfare state was introduced. And a study last year by the Church Urban Fund found that in 2016, one in 50 adults used a food bank. In 2017, there were almost 400,000 more children in poverty in the UK compared to 2012 to 13. And the number of people rough sleeping has increased by an estimated 169% since 2010. If we think about public perceptions of poverty, well, in general, during the current austerity period, the UK public perception of poverty has, of people in poverty, have not been particularly positive. There's been myths of people on benefits as being lazy, of them suffering from addiction and having easy lifestyles. And these ideas have been fueled by the media and also at times by the government. However, there are signs that attitudes are starting to change. So the Social Attitudes Survey of this year found that support for the government to spend more on unemployment benefits is at its highest level for 15 years, although admittedly the highest level is still 20% of people. What then is the relationship between austerity and poverty in the UK? It's important to say that poverty levels in the UK were already rising before austerity was introduced. However, by 2018, the UK is one of the most unequal developed countries, and the poorest in UK society have been most affected by austerity measures. And women have also been affected by austerity measures more than men, and black and ethnic minority groups have been affected more than other groups. Welfare spending has fallen by almost 25% in the last decade, and there are also rising levels of in-work poverty. In 2016, 2 million children were in poverty in families where the adults were working at the level that was expected by the government. And that's quite an interesting point, because that shows that actually you could meet all of the government expectations on how much you should be working, how much you should be earning. You're kind of fulfilling the obligation that the welfare state has put upon you, but you can still be in poverty. And we've also seen in the last decade a rise in precarious working contracts and insecure incomes. And that's shown that it's most affected people in their 20s and 30s. So that age group has been affected by austerity more than, say, people of pension age bracket. So ultimately, the Institute for Policy Research in 2018 said the UK economy is not working, the economy needs fundamental reform. One way to think about this relationship between austerity and poverty is to look at this graph, which shows Trussell Trust food bank use. So the number of people using Trussell Trust food banks, which is the largest group of food banks in the UK, the number of people using that has continued to rise, and it's risen by over 600,000 food parcels between 2013, which was on the left, and 2017 on the right. So we could say, okay, fine, but what does that say about austerity? If we then think about the main causes of food bank use, these relate to welfare changes and austerity measures. So when someone goes to a food bank, as you may know, they're asked what the primary reason for them needing the food bank is, and also the secondary reason. So the Trussell Trust records all of this at each food bank. It's sent into the Trussell Trust, and they produce figures like this to look at the overall causes. So the main causes were benefit delays and benefit changes, and then also low income. So essentially this orangey red section of the pie chart. And low income includes a low income from benefits as well as a low income from being entirely in work. So this does suggest that really there has been a correlation, there has been a relationship between austerity and poverty increasing. And in the Life on the Breadline project, as Chris will tell us more about in just a minute, we'll be exploring Christian groups' responses to a wide variety of different aspects of poverty framed by this context of austerity.